Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information about our church, visit therockonline.org. And now a message from the Rock of Gainesville.
Big happy Father's Day to all the dads in the house. Matter of fact, all the dads in the house, stand with me. And then everybody else can give you a big thank you. Amen, amen. Thank you, dads. Y'all are awesome. Nobody would be here without y'all. We have our part to play. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It's not as big a part as moms have, but we do have our part. And so, you know, as we talk about fathers, oftentimes, too often, there's negative vibes. There's heartache from the memory of childhood that maybe you weren't raised by the best dad in the house. Maybe you suffered things that you should have never suffered. But I am really thankful that Father God is a father that never fails us. Amen? So no matter what our past is, first of all, I want to encourage you that no matter really what kind of childhood you grew up in, that you pause and give thanks for your dad, because without him, you wouldn't be here. And so there, you know, Paul said, if there be any good thing, search it out, look for it, find it. I had a father, and I had a father-in-law. I had a spiritual father, and I had other men that were like fathers in my life, including Mr. Bob, who was my brother-in-law. And in each of those men's life, I look back and I realize that I got something good out of all of them. Right. Now, when I think about my father-in-law, what I got good out of it was Suzanne. Come on, somebody. Period. As she was getting ready to walk down the aisle to become my wife, my father-in-law looks at her and whispers and says, calls her by her nickname, which I won't call, but he says, it's not too late. I'll walk you out of here if you want to walk out. I'm thankful that she had a made-up mind, and she was committed. But there is always something good that we can look back on and thank God for. And so this morning, ladies, I am going to bring a word that's mostly made for the men, but I want to encourage you that I do believe Holy Spirit can speak even when a word is going to men, that women have an ability to hear and glean by Holy Spirit something that will encourage you, help you, build you up, edify you for the work of the ministry, just as when we speak about women on Mother's Day, that men can also glean from those words of encouragement in life. So I want to pray. I want to welcome those of you that are watching online. I want to welcome our church family, the Rock of Maypin. They're watching this morning, and they are excited about the word that I'm bringing because Pastor Dennis has already shared with them. I want to talk about being anointed for manhood. So let me pray. Father, thank you that you have anointed us for manhood. Every male in this building, Father, was created not by accident. None of us are a mistake. Father, you weren't confused when you created us in our mother's womb. Lord, you called us for such a time as this. You anointed us for such a time as this. You graced us for such a time as this. And I pray today that every man in this place, every young man, every older man, Father, that all of us will be encouraged today by the word that we hear, that we'll be challenged to continue to press into all the things that you have for us. So I give you thanks for that word, and I declare it to be anointed by Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. At the end of the service, we do have a little gift that our staff has put together. Happy Father's Day gift to all the dads. Pastor Ron will give more details at the end, but it says, Happy Father's Day from all of us at The Rock, honoring the fathers who build us up, lead with faith, and reflect the heart of our Heavenly Father. And it is a pen. It's a James Bond pen. So it's a ruler that's 7 centimeters and 3 inches. It's got a level gauge. It's got a Phillips and a flathead screwdriver, a stylus tip, and a ballpoint pen with extra refills. Come on, somebody. Don't tell me we're cheap. Just take that pen and be James Bond Jr. with that. So that pen's mine, so nobody steal that, please. Thank you. All right, so this word is interesting, these couple of different passages of Scripture that I'm going to read, and if you'd like, you can turn to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to read about 17 verses, not about, I'm going to read 17 verses, that word about, that's an interesting word, isn't it? Sometimes you hear about and it's not a good connotation. I was with one of my sons, I won't say which one, and we were driving through Yellowstone Park and he got pulled over. He was driving by Barney Fife from Yellowstone National, man. And the cop says, you were going about 45 miles an hour. And then gave him an about big ticket because he says, you were also driving through a construction zone. And I said, officer, it's Saturday. Are there really construction signs out? He said, yes. Yeah. So we didn't believe him. We didn't believe Barney Fife. So we turned around and went back. And all the construction signs were turned sideways. And he didn't say, I clocked you going 45. He said, you're going about 45. So I told the son, I would never say it was Luke. I said, you need to call and get you one of those attorneys, those $100 attorneys, and fight that because about is not the same as exact, right? So I'm going to read exactly 17 verses out of Romans chapter 1 in just a moment. It's amazing the illustrations that come to you that my sons have never appreciated their whole lives. And no matter how old they get, they're always an illustration. They're just one move away from being another great illustration. So we're going to read exactly today 17 verses. But before I do, I want to say to the men prophetically, one, that you're called to be men. I know in our generation, the culture that we're living in today, there's a lot of confusion being spoken by the wokeism people out there trying to confuse men from who they are. Men were God called, God anointed, God created, and we're not an accident. Amen. You're created a male, and you is a male. And sometimes we have to reject the lies that continually bombard us, that we're not, because they're a lie from hell. So you're called to be men. You're also called to lead. Every man is called to lead. Some of you sit in here and you say, well, no, that's not my personality. I'd rather be in the background. No. You are called to lead. Because if you're saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, forgiven of God, redeemed by His blood, got the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, everything that God has given you, He's given you for the purpose of you giving it away. Therefore, if you're giving it away, somebody's going to follow. And if we can receive that truth, then we can reject the lie that our personality is bigger than the call of God on our life. Amen? Amen. Women, listen to me today. This is a great time for y'all just say amen a whole lot, out loud. Don't worry about your husband sitting beside you. Just say it out loud. Amen? Say it. There you go. See, if the men aren't going to say it, you women, I know y'all are godly women, you're going to say it. Don't hold back. Number three, you're called to stand strong. Amen. Stand up, strong, mighty. The other day I was watching something and all of a sudden a clip of that movie Courageous came up. And I didn't realize it's been 14 years since they made that movie, 2011. I had to search hard to find it yesterday. I was looking in PureFlix. They didn't have it. I looked in Paramount. They didn't have it. I looked in all the different venues of that I knew of, and finally I just Googled it.
There you go.
And when I Googled it, it came up. And I went and I watched the last couple of minutes of that video where one of the men that plays the police officer is speaking in his church, and he's doing this even through the movie scene, it's so anointed. I watched it twice and literally could not stop the tears both times. Because he was standing in front of this large congregation, and he was challenging men to be men of God, to take up their rightful place, their rightful anointing. And at the end, he's going, who will? Who will? And all of a sudden, throughout the auditorium, men begin to stand. And as I watched that, I was so challenged in my own heart to remember the anointing that God places on the lives, especially of fathers. It's great to have Tad and Missy's whole family here today, and Austin and Michaela are here with their second little girl, and she's gorgeous. And I asked Austin, I said, how's fatherhood? He said, it's changed my life. That's what fatherhood does. Changes your life. If you never had a reason to live for God, you have a reason now to live for God. Because those little ones are going to grow up and be like you. Not what you say, but who you are. The other day, we had a private baby dedication in my office with one of our couples. He's a doctor at Shands, and they just got transferred, or he just accepted a job up in Ohio. Why in the world you'd leave Florida, go to Ohio? I don't know. She even said with tears coming down her eyes, I miss Florida already and I haven't left. I said, you're going to be in deep trouble because it gets cold in Ohio. But we were dedicating their beautiful little boy who looked just like their daddy, his daddy. I was like, wow. I mean, identical. But I said to him, this little boy, the only God he's going to know for the first 5, 7, 8 years of his life is the God that he sees in Daddy. Yep. So what you are, what spirit you release, that's who they're going to identify Father God with. And then somewhere around 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of age, every child comes into that their own personal encounter with who is God. I know he's the God that my daddy loves, the God that my daddy serves, the God that my daddy worships, the God that my daddy takes me to church, the God of all of our, my daddy's relationships are based on a relationship that daddy has with God. But that's not good enough for your sons and daughters. They have to have their own personal relationship. Or else they grow up in church and everything that's life to you becomes law to them. That's powerful. That had to come from Holy Spirit because I didn't think it. Sorry, every time I blow my nose, Tad just try to catch me before I do it. Sorry about that. Thank you. That Tad, he'll just cut me off whenever he wants. But we're called to stand strong. And fourth, we're graced and anointed to do everything God's called us to do, hear me, with no excuses. I want every man to say those two words out loud. No excuses. Say it loud. No excuses. See, we don't have an excuse to live unrighteous when we claim to be righteous. We don't have a right to sneak around and do evil things against our wives and our children when we claim publicly to be a child of the living God. There are no excuses to giving in to the flesh. Because to give in to the flesh, you have to reject the Holy Spirit. But when we receive the Holy Spirit, then we have power to overcome. How many men in this room have one thing that you regret in life? Let me see your hand. If you're a male, you got something to regret. If you didn't raise your hand, you're a liar and you need to regret that you lied. I'll give you something to help you out with. But we've been called and we have no excuses. Romans chapter 1, let me read. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Now, I got to read all 17 verses, but I know I'm going to get stuck here on verse 1 for just a second. Paul says, I was called to be an apostle. Right. Listen to me, men. You're called to be a leader. If you're a father, you're anointed to be a father. No excuses. Well, but I my daddy didn't teach me well, or my granddaddy didn't teach me well. The other day I was playing golf with a pastor, new pastor here in town that I befriended, and we've developed a relationship, found out that he played golf, so we played golf this last Friday, and he was sharing with me, after I watched him swing a few times, he told me he wasn't much of a golfer, and I watched him swing a few times, and I said, hey bro, you lied. You have a really nice swing. And he said, well, if there's anything good about my golf, my grandfather taught me to play golf. Wow. And he began to express his relationship. I got envious. I was like, my grandfather just cussed me out. You know, I don't have, my mom's dad died when she was young, so I never knew him. And my dad's dad, him and granny, we lived next door to them, and when my brother and I would climb their avocado tree, she had yelled out the window, and I can't say the words she would say to her grandsons. But get your blankety-blank self out of my blankety-blank tree before I blankety-blank kick your blankety-blank. A lot of blanks in there. But he began to share with me how he spent this time with his grandfather. Man, it was precious. You know, I love those times with all of my grandkids, special little moments. Whether it's on a boat fishing or having a conversation with the granddaughters that I don't understand. And I don't really think they expect me to understand. But they love me, and they kiss me on the cheek, and they tell me they love me, and they're precious. Yeah. And those times, grandfathers will go to their grave remembering. And hopefully in those times, Babas and Bellas and granddaddies and grandmamas speak nuggets of life and truth. In September, we're doing two missions trips combined into one, and Gabe and Andrew are taking about 18 men from our house to do some more work for Pastor Jimmy and Jessica Hughes in Honduras, and at the same time, Stephen Arrington and myself are going to take 10 of our young people, 5 girls, 5 boys, on the same trip, staying in the same place, and we're going to be doing some ministry, very exciting ministry, as I talked with Jimmy and Jessica this week, and they began to share. And I'm saying all that to say, my girl slot is full, and I have 2 slots for 2 boys left, and we're taking boys aged about 14 to 18, so if you have a son that you would like to see him go on a missions trip, he'll get to spend a whole week with me, you know, that didn't come out right. I'm going to get to spend time with your sons, and I'm going to be blessed because of it. But anyhow, it's looking like I might take 4 of my 10 grandkids. And I'm looking forward to being on the mission field and reading the word together, spending time together, praying together, doing ministry together. Because those are the things we've been called and anointed to do. Now, before we ever get to September, we got Reach Week coming in a couple of weeks. And as you hear the promotions and encouragement, I would encourage every family in this house. Ooh, I'm about to tread on Holy Grail. Take one of your Disney World weeks. Instead, stay home, take off work, and spend the week with your kids serving our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ooh, get quiet in here. Well, you don't have to take your Disney World week. You can take one of the other weeks. But what I'm saying is there are some things that are way more important than one more trip to Disney. Imagine you and your kids working over at one of the public schools, cleaning up a nasty public school. Your kids might go to a private Christian school or might be homeschooled, but we're going to invest in our community. Imagine you and your kids going down to St. Francis House and feeding hungry people without judgment. Imagine yourself taking 5 or 6 backpacks full of supplies and going into our community where there are the homeless, without judgment, blessing them and providing something for their care. Way down the road one day, your kids might remember that week more than your latest fun week, because you did something that wasn't about everybody in the family benefiting, but it's about learning to serve. I mean, that's what Reach Week is all about. It's servanthood. I love every year watching our young people and our kids in that back room filling boxes and bags of food. I love watching the little kids so excited as they're running around with instructions on how to fill each bag with a certain amount of canned food or certain amount of box foods or certain amount of breads or pastries, and just being out there in that parking lot for 4 or 5 hours and watching cars come through without judgment. People that have a need. You know, this last week we had a celebration of life service for Bijan Devani. And it was incredibly precious, number one, to see almost 25 people from Publix, co-workers of Bijan, at that service, all saying the same thing. That Bijan was one of the kindest, sweetest, loving people they had ever met. One young lady actually went up and spoke on the mic, and then afterwards she came up to me, and it was hard to get away from her thanking me and thanking me and thanking me that our house took the time to honor this person that she really had only spoken to twice in her life. She worked in customer service, and Bijan worked in the deli. But anybody that knew Bijan knew that if you think about Bijan, you think about the little red Toyota sitting out by the street with the trunk open after every single service that he was ever at The Rock, with bread and pastries and food to give to anybody who needed it or wanted it. He lived incredibly simple, and yet he was incredibly rich. He found his joy as this young, not young, he was older than I was, I am, but he was from Iran. And he thanked God for America. Some of us need to rub shoulders with somebody that really still appreciates our nation that we have. Yesterday, I thought it was one of the coolest things I've seen our country do, maybe in my lifetime, and that was to celebrate 250 years of the United States Army. Most of y'all know that the Army was actually created 1 year before our country's independence. Next year, it'll be our country's 250th anniversary, celebration, birthday, whatever you want to call it. But we're called and we're set apart, as Paul said in Romans 1, verse 1, for the gospel of God. We are set apart. Our lives. So, oh, no, I'm a this or I'm a that. This is my career. This is my profession. That might be that, but that is not who you are. Just like I am not just a preacher. I am not just a pastor. I'm not just an apostle. That might be what I do, but that is not who I am. I'm first and foremost a saint of God. Not a saint because of doing saintly things, but we're saints because of Jesus Christ, who gave himself completely to die on the cross for our benefit. And as men, we're called, set apart, to do the work of the ministry, leading our families, leading our homes, working, being diligent, being faithful. But the anointing will be there for everyone who chooses to receive it. He goes ahead and says, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, and to all of those in Rome who are loved by God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, to all of those in Rome, to all of those in Gainesville, to all of those at the Rock of Gainesville who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will, I may now at last succeed. Paul's desire was to go to Rome and to visit the believers. He said, for I long, verse 11, to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. When that pastor was telling me Friday about the time he spent with his grandfather, his father and his grandfather were pastors, and he said the things that he gleaned from his grandfather, not just the game of golf, but life. Right. Having conversations that he said, I will never forget. He said, my granddad died at a young age, 77 years of age, I think, way too young. And he said, but the things that he imparted into my life, I will remember and impart into my own children's life. Verse 12, that is that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Men, when you're together with other men, we're to be mutually encouraged. Look up here, every man in this place, look at me. I want to see the whites of your eyes. If you hang out with men and walk away and you're not encouraged, you're hanging out with the wrong men. If you're not challenged by the men you're hanging out with, you're not hanging out with the right men. If you're not convicted sometimes by the men that you hang out with, you're hanging out with the wrong men. If all you ever do with your buddies is drink beer and fish on the side of the lake, and you don't come away from there a better man, you're hanging out with the wrong men. We need to be challenged. And sometimes we need to be with men that will get all up in our stuff and be real with us. We need those kind of men. Because otherwise, you just become wussy old men. Explain that to your kids when you get home. And hear me, you were not called to be wusses. Called to be mighty men of God. Strong men of God. Faithful men of God. Not abusive. Not domineering. Not controlling. My wife has tried to help me with those things in my life. This morning I was getting dressed in my closet with my door closed. I looked up. There was a card from my wife. So I prayed and discerned. Will I be encouraged? Or will I be convicted? So I got my pants on, my socks on, my shoes on, putting my shirt on, and I paused. And I opened the card. And I was encouraged. She didn't praise me for being a perfect father. Matter of fact, she said, you weren't a perfect father. It wasn't encouragement, John. Because she also said, you were never created to be perfect. Amen? But we serve a perfect father who will teach us so that we can father even when we didn't have that impartation. Sometimes you will father in a way that you'll be mesmerized. Like, where did that come from? It's a God thing. God imparts, pours into us. And that's why we need one another. That's why we need each other. Verse 13, he says, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I've often intended to come. Paul's really desirous about going to Rome in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Men of God, hear me. One day you're going to stand before Father God and give an account. I'm not talking about salvation. That's handled under the blood of Jesus Christ. You have nothing you can do to work for salvation. You can't earn salvation. You don't even deserve salvation. But you have it because it's a gift. But with the gift of salvation comes the dying to self and the learning to say yes, Lord, to everything Jesus Christ speaks into you to do. Not no, Lord, but yes, Lord. And in the process of learning how to say yes to the Lord, we prepare ourselves for the future time when we will stand and give an account. Every man in America needs to hear what I'm about to say. Because this is not a me thing, this is a God thing. We will stand before the Father one day and we will give an account for our lives. Our words, our actions, our behavior, and what we did for Him. He freely gave, the Father gave His Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. And He wants us to freely take the gifts that we have been given and to spend our lives in the midst of all of our work stuff being a light that shines for the gospel of Jesus Christ with no excuses. We're called. We're anointed. We're gifted. So you can build a house or stand before a judge and be a lawyer. You can be a doctor. You can be a business owner. Whatever it is that you do for a profession, you can do and still honor God with your whole life. Being willing always to open up your mouth to speak to those who will never be saved unless they hear, and they'll never hear unless somebody speaks to them. Words of life, words of encouragement, words of hope. I want to read you a devotional that a friend of mine wrote a few weeks ago. And this friend, I got reacquainted with him a couple of months ago. And every single day since the day that we ran into each other after not seeing each other for over 20 years, maybe close to 30, he has written me every single morning somewhere between 4:30 and 6 in the morning. And he always says, "Pastor George, mighty man of the living God, I am praying for you right now at this moment, and I'm declaring the blessing of God on your life. For you to be the man that God has called you to be." And then he'll say, and I've added a devotional that I've just written. And a couple of weeks ago, I read this, and it touched me. And so I just copy and pasted it and sent it over to my notes. And as I was preparing this week, the title of this particular devotional is No Excuses. Apropos. There's a calling deep within all of us, a desire to live with purpose, to make a difference, to leave something behind that matters. But too often we delay, we plan, we hope, we say, one day I'll get to that. Yet something always gets in the way. Life isn't just about the dreams we hold, it's about the action we take. It's about the willingness to show up, to speak truth, to love boldly, and to bring light where there is darkness. Not just to the people who agree with us or the ones who make it easy, but to all people, regardless of background, education, or culture. Each of us carries a responsibility. If we know what's good, what's true, what can change lives, then we're called to share it. Not out of guilt or pressure, but because hope is too powerful to keep to ourselves. And if you've ever experienced a moment of clarity, healing, or purpose, you know exactly what that hope can do. There is beauty all around us, clear evidence that we are part of something bigger. The sky, the oceans, the way life moves forward, even in the mess. These are not accidents. They are reminders that truth is not hidden and goodness is not far off. In fact, they're invitations, silent ones, that challenge us to stop waiting and start living. Today, don't hold back. Don't hide what's real inside of you. Don't be ashamed of the light you carry. The world is aching for something genuine, something eternal, something that speaks to the soul. Be the one who steps forward with courage and says, "This is who I am, and I will not be silent." Because people are watching. And they're not just looking for perfection. They're looking for someone willing to stand up, speak out, and live a life that means something. Let that be you, and you will make a difference. No excuses. I was encouraged in reading that because I am absolutely convinced that every single person in this room, male and female alike, young and old alike, because you're still sitting upright, because you still have oxygen coming out of your lungs and blood running through your veins, that you have yet a purpose to fulfill in this lifetime. Because until it's over, until we're celebrating your life and the memory of your life, you have the joy of fulfilling what God has for you. I would dare say that most of us in this room oftentimes wonder, what is that purpose? Sometimes there's a fog. Sometimes we feel like we're living in a cloud. And I want to do the will of God, but God, what is your will? What's your specific will for my life? To love God, to love mercy, to love truth, and to be faithful every single day with the opportunities that life or God give you to fulfill. The will of God is not hard. Oftentimes, it's pausing for a moment to help someone, to encourage someone, to take the grocery bag at Publix from the little lady that's just finished loading the back of her car and say, "Can I take that in for you?" You're not preaching. You're not giving the four easy steps to salvation, which there are none. But you're just showing love. You're just being a light. You're being willing to encourage someone because someone else has encouraged you. We're called for such a time as this. And every man, every father in this place has a, I believe, a very specific calling and grace. And if you will simply seek God with your whole heart, search for Him and love Him passionately, you will not fail. You'll not just fumble through life confused, but you'll walk in the clarity of knowing Him and being an example to the world in which He has called you to live. I was going to read, and because of the time, I'm not. I'm going to just give it to you. You can read it when you get home. I really got stuck yesterday in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 11 through 32. It's the parable of the lost son. Great story. Because it's really a story about a father and his heart. And it's also a story about a son. And most of us think it's the prodigal son, the one who took all his daddy's inheritance and ran off and spent it foolishly. But to me, the other greater part of this story is not the son that went away, but it's the son that stayed. The son with an attitude. The son who had a victim mentality. The son who felt like he was owed things. And to me, I think that son was every bit, if not more, confused than the young son who went off and sowed his wild oats, but woke up in the pig's pen, came home to salvation, came home to life. But in that story, we see the father reaching out and graciously receiving the prodigal son, has a great feast and a great party for him. And when we read that, it brings joy to my heart. The heart of a father who forgives quickly and who is ready to redeem that which the enemy has stolen. But he's also the father that graciously reminds his other son, "You've always had me. I've always been right here for you. And everything I have." You see, if you read that story slowly, you might read something that you've never read before every time you've ever read that story. Because I read it yesterday and I thought, I don't think I've ever read that. Of course, I have. But what I meant was, I never got that. You see, it says when the younger son came and asked for his inheritance, the father gave the inheritance to both of them. The one took it and squandered. The other one stayed. But he stayed with an attitude. Both sons had to be redeemed. And the father graciously walked in forgiveness to both. And he loved them both tremendously. Probably every dad in this place that has sons that are teenage or older, grown sons, have had to walk out things as a father of grown adults that you didn't have to walk out as a father of children. When they're children, you just loved them, spanked them, then loved them again, and went on. But life changes when sons become dads, become adults. And there's a grace for whatever season we're in. God will anoint us. So as I looked at that story, and I'm going to close with this, my thoughts were this. One, that God, as our Father, just like this parable that Jesus tells of the Father, is always gracious and merciful to our lives. And for that, I'm deeply thankful. Because there have been times as an adult man, a father, a grandfather, where I've needed the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, and the grace of God. And He is always there and always faithful. Number two, that God will allow us to do whatever we want, even to our own destruction. But He'll also be there when we come to our senses. Amen? Thank God that when you wake up in the pig's pen and you remember that in your Father's house, His servants are treated better than this. If you're smart, you get up and you run home to that place of redemption. God will also move with compassion when we repent, and God will restore what the enemy has stolen from us, because our God, I think I'm going to write a song, God is a good, good God. Oh, is there a song already been written? Well, I should have written it. But our God is a good, good Father, and He's a good, good God. I want to pray for all the men in the house, not just the fathers. I want to pray for all the males in the house. So if you would stand, all the men, young men, older men, granddaddies, grand youngins. My prayer for us as men at this season of the year where we honor fathers is that we look to hear and respond to the things that Father God is wanting to do in our lives. We don't justify sin or failure, but that literally we begin to ask God, if you don't have a deep desire to know Him deeper, ask God to give you a deep desire to know the Father. Hear me. He is the one that you're going to spend eternity with in heaven. So if you want to go to heaven, you obviously want to know the Father who created you for His purpose and His life. And I want to pray for you that each and every one of us, no matter how young we are, old we are, as men, that we will hear and obey that the Father has for us. So women, you can stretch your hands toward all of us men and ask God to have the mercy that we desire for Him to have on our lives. Join with me as we pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, right now I thank You for Your goodness. I thank You for Your grace. I thank You, Father, for accomplishing all that You have for us to do and to be, to walk out. I pray, Father, that in every man's life, young boy's life that's standing in this room right now, that today, that each of us will take the time to pause, to ponder, and to consider, what does the Father have for me to accomplish in my lifetime? And then, Father, I pray that they will have the faith to begin to believe and to stir up in their own hearts that desire and willingness to say, not my will, but Your will be done, Father. I pray, Father, against every lying devil, every demonic attack, every deceiving spirit that tries to come against the men of God in this house and in the Rock of Maypin and in everyone that's listening online, Father, that all of us as men would reject the lies of Satan and rise up and be the men that God has called us to be, men of integrity, men of righteousness, men of truth, men that lead their families well, men that lead other young men well, men, Father, that are hungry to accomplish that which you have called us to do and to be. I thank you that there's nothing too difficult, that if you've called us, you've anointed us. And if you've anointed us, you've appointed for us a time in which to walk out the very purpose that you have for our lives. And so I pray that over every man, over every young man, every older man in this place today, that you would be glorified in our lives, that we, as men of God, will show forth your glory to be the light that this world so desperately needs, to shine forth the goodness of our God in every way and in everything that you have called us to do and to be. I pray in Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said, amen, amen. With the rest of you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information about our church, visit therockonline.org.